You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, you're listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I have joining me Steve Erickson. He is an integration specialist and automation nerd. I love it when people call themselves nerds. In his previous role, he was the chief technology officer for Mary Morrissey, which is an eight-figure life coach certification organization. And there he was responsible for all kinds of tech-related stuff and running events, or at least the tech end of events, that involved thousands of attendees. I'm super excited to have Steve on because he's actually transitioned to an online event, virtual event focused project that we're going to talk about in a bit. But I want to observe that over this past year or so, as the world has been dealing with this pandemic, that a lot of us have jumped headfirst into this world of online events, online activities in a way that has sort of rapidly increased the awareness of and participation in stuff online. And Steve has been at the forefront of helping people who are new to all of this get comfortable with it. And now he's in the process of realizing a vehicle to help them simplify the management of it all. So Steve Erickson, thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you, David, for having me on here. It's an absolute pleasure speaking to you and your audience today.
So there was a bunch of stuff I threw out there before I even let you open your mouth. But one of the things that led me to reach out to you in the first place was I was seeing some of the stuff that you were doing around virtual events, online events like summits is a sort of an example of an online event. And I was eager to see, because I consider myself a technology nerd as well, what was behind the curtain, what you were working on. Do you want to share the story of sort of what you're working on now, the software that you're working on, and what led you to actually start this whole project in the first place?
Oh, absolutely. So what I'm working on is really a system that simplifies the virtual event management. And I'm talking about like the back end administration, the technology that you have to use when you're creating a virtual event of any kind. And the backstory to that, I think, is it's interesting because this is not just like me having an idea and starting to do something. It was actually born out of frustration. It was born out of having a real problem. So I joined Mary Morrissey, as you mentioned, back in 2014. I grew with the company from 25 to 100 staff members, and we were doing up to 50 physical events every year. There was a lot of the technology in the back end, as you're saying, that, you know, to make sure that all the participants are registered correctly and immediately, and you keep in count of them all and following up with them and doing all of this. So I've really been steeped in that that world. And then when the pandemic hit, we had to go virtual. And when we did the first virtual event, we had around 500 people. That was in April last year. And the second one, we had 1,800 participants who were in Zoom and at any one time. So we had 10 different Zoom rooms using here with 1,800 participants and a coaching zone. So when this was a three-day event, so when Mary made an offer, people went into the coaching zone to speak to the salespeople, to the enrollment mentors. And I decided to leave Mary. I handed in my resignation in July. I actually worked with Mary up till October, but I knew very soon that I wanted to have my own virtual event. And the best way that, I mean, that literally the only two ways I know of growing your list and getting paid for it is actually running a summit or running a giveaway. And so the summit is what I wanted to do first. It's also a great way of building your authority and your influence in the industry, being able to say that you're a summit host and that was successful, and then you're doing your second and third. Then you're building a reputation in the industry where people are seeking you out. So I wanted to capitalize on that. So I handed in my notice on the 6th of July, and I wanted to run my summit on the 31st of August. I started planning it all 2 weeks before. Now, I don't recommend that most people start planning it 2 weeks before. But, you know, I have over 20 years experience with marketing and psychology. I have longer than that with technology and programming and making things happen from a tech point of view. So I can move much faster than most people. And I had a system that I was going to use for managing all of the speakers for my summit. I was going live for 4 days and I had 27 speakers. And it turned out that the software solution I was going to use basically couldn't do the job for me. It was very, very difficult to make it look and feel the way I wanted to. The experience for the participants, the attendees there, really wasn't what I wanted them to go through. The experience for the speakers wasn't what I wanted them to go through. So I was suddenly tearing my hair out and going, oh, what am I going to do? I've got the summit coming up in 2 weeks, and I was going to use this software, and it was going to make it be easy. So I had to sit down and really write my own software for managing my summit. And it worked really, really well. I spent a lot of time on the automation, so I didn't have to spend a lot of time actually following up with the speakers and managing them. And it went so well, I wanted to do my second summit, and that was in January. And in my January summit, I gave myself a lot more time, 50% more time. In fact, I spent 3 weeks putting it together. And I had 37 speakers lined up for 5 days, 40 hours worth of content. Mm. And I kept developing my system here. And the speakers afterwards said it was one of the best run summits they've ever attended. The way the communication was flowing, the fact that I gave them their links for promoting. So as a speaker, they promote the summit. I gave them always the link for promoting. I always gave them link to the swipe copy so they could to help them write their own copy to promote it. The time and date they were going to be speaking, the link they were going to use for speaking, all of that was automated. And we also produced a leaderboard, who was most successful at bringing participants in. And that was all automated in my system. So I spent less than 10 hours on the administration and management of a summit with 37 speakers.
And okay, so just want to jump in here for a moment, because we're focusing on the nerdiness of automation and how super cool it is to make the event really efficient. And you talked a couple minutes ago about the way that you were leveraging an event and the reasons why you chose a summit in terms of positioning yourself, in terms of bringing money in at the same time for this new venture that you were starting after being employed, right? You go into business for yourself. So I want to step back for just a moment and understand events as a marketing tool in general. What role do they play, and why are they so effective at building a business through events?
Right. So there are many types of events. And the biggest authority builder really is a summit. And there's very specific reasons for that. If you do an event, then people looking at you, they don't know whether you're going to be successful. They don't know how good you're doing it. Everybody's running like a one-day workshop or a two-hour sales event kind of thing. So let's separate those kind of events out from a summit. A summit means that you have speakers. A summit means that you are going out to people who are hopefully experts in their field, and they're going to be talking on stage. And it doesn't matter whether you have experience. It doesn't matter whether you have gravitas and authority already. The mere fact that you're standing, even as a brand new coach, even as a brand new speaker, you're on a stage with other people who have an audience, means that some of their authority will carry over to you. And that's why it's so powerful to build your brand and build your authority. And when you're doing a summit, the reason I chose 4 days and 5 days was to be in front of the audience for that period of time. You know, in the 5 day summit, I actually had five people who stayed on for the whole 40 hours, for the whole 5 days. Hmm. And when you're able to be there in front of them, whether you're doing it as an interview summit or you're just introducing, the fact is that your brand is there, they're seeing you, they're getting emails from you, just means that you're automatically building your authority. And from my summit in January, I think the best way to describe it is, because of my summit and the follow-up I did, I made over $30,000.
Yeah. So I want to dive into the mechanics of the marketing and the monetization in a moment. But you mentioned coaches specifically. I know that's your background. And you know, a lot of the folks that I work with are actually not in the coaching space. They're in professional services, like attorneys or financial advisors, where all of what we're talking about is equally applicable, right? You can, and I see this in the financial advisor space quite a bit. Offline, there might be seminars that they would use to market their services, to get up and demonstrate their authority, by inviting people to, you know, to a dinner, a steak dinner, and I'm going to teach you a little bit of something about how to plan for your retirement or that sort of thing. But you can use summits and virtual events, and I hope advisors have been over this past year. Can you talk a little bit about how a professional services business could utilize this as well?
No, absolutely. The key thing about the summit is that the people who are speaking at the summit need to promote it to their list of people. So one of the key criteria for somebody being allowed on your stage to speak is that they have a list of people that they can promote to. Right? If none of the speakers have any list, then basically you're not going to get anybody to come to the summit. That's one of the key challenges here. Mm-hmm. So you need to go out in your space and find people who have a list. That's number one. And the number two thing you need to look at is, do you have a compatible target audience? You know, if you are marketing financial services to the over 50 and you're getting financial consultants who are working on selling pensions to people who are between 20 and 30, there's not a good match.
Right.
So you need to look for people who have a good match. And then what is a great fit is people who are targeting the same audience in the same field, in the same space, with a complementary service. So again, if you are looking at, for instance, now I'm just picking something out of the air here. If you're doing tax planning for the over 50, then if you are then speaking to people who are attorneys who have over 50s and doing inheritance planning, so you're doing tax planning, they're doing inheritance planning, there's a great match with the audience. They're interested in saving money. You know, they have the same kind of vision and you're not competing as a service. So if you find service providers who have compatible services and you get them to speak on a summit, and then you're able to go to the people who are in the audience and saying, hey, if you're over 50 and you want to save money on your taxes, you want to save money on your inheritance, and you want to do all of these other things that are all compatible, then this is a great summit for you. And you know, that can be a 4-hour summit with four speakers. It can be a 1-day, it can be a 3-day summit. It doesn't really matter how big it is, as long as the people are prepared to go out and promote it, who's going to be speaking.
Okay, so a part of the mechanics that I'm hearing are that you're leveraging everybody's reach, the audience, the list, the ability to get people to the event. And then what happens, right? So you do a presentation, you have a bunch of presenters there who are sharing knowledge. How does what are sort of the typical next steps that lead toward monetizing the event?
So you do need to have a plan in place for that. And there are many different marketing strategies that you can use. One of the great ways is it takes a lot of planning. It takes a lot of thought. But, you know, a great way of doing it is if they come to your summit, actually bringing them onto something like a 3-day event. And in the 3-day event, you have the ability to actually build up a really strong relationship with them, make them aware of all the pitfalls and all of the challenges that they will come across, and build a dream for them of where they could be, and then position yourself as the person who can actually, or the service company who can actually deliver that for them. Mm-hmm. But you don't need to go to a 3-day event. You can also do it as a series of like webinars or workshops or whatever. Whatever you have right now, you know, leverage that. And then just build on it. When I did my first summit, I literally sold them into a $497 6-week course. That was all I had to offer because it was so early in my coaching career. When I did the summit in January, my second one, I was then able to take them to a three-day event where I was making my pitch. And that, I mean, my sales literally went from $2,000 on my first one to $30,000 on my second one. So it was well worth doing.
So as I'm hearing this, I'm trying to translate some of these ideas that I know well and that work really well in the coaching or training space and translate them into providing services. And you could easily take somebody from this event and sell them into either another event or more training, but you probably could move them into what might be a typical sales process, I'm assuming, which might simply be, you know, a consultation or something, I'm guessing.
Absolutely. At the at my event, I had one of the speakers invited people to sign up for a consultancy, a strategy session. Mm-hmm. And that was a 30 to 45 minute long strategy session. And two of the people who came in, she had, believe she had about 20, 22 people who listened to her talk. She had 8 people who signed up for her strategy session, and 2 of them bought her higher end program. You know, that was thousands of dollars in sales that she had from just speaking for 45 minutes.
So think about that, right? If you're using a different tact, like doing live events where you're paying for dinner for people and you're, you know, filling a room and paying, you know, $5,000, $8,000, $10,000 to get all these people in the room, most of whom, at least in the financial services business, they call them plate lickers because they're there for the dinner, not for the service, right? How much more effective this could be to leverage all the authority of all the other folks who are working on your behalf. You're not laying out the type of money that you have to lay out for an in-person live event. And you can actually leverage that pull from all of these other people into booking your time on your calendar with prospects. That sounds like a brilliant plan.
Absolutely. And if you're saving money, then why not spend it on advertising your event and driving leads in through advertising? That can be very, very effective when you have the money to spend on that.
And I guess, you know, these are typically billed as free events in my experience. Is that always the case, or are there exceptions to that rule?
There are definitely exceptions to that rule. And I think it's to do with pre-qualifying people, really. There is one financial event that's taking place that I'm aware of where you have to pay $7, I think it is, for the entry ticket. And then you can pay for like VIP upgrades and things like that before the event. So there are definitely summits where you do pay for it. But, you know, then you know that the people who are coming there are really interested enough. Even if it's $7, there's something magical about having to pull out your credit card and pay for something. Whether that is $1, it doesn't actually matter. There are a number of people who will go, no, I'm not going to do that. And the tire kick is really. And by making sure that people actually have a credit card means that they also have passed the first hurdle. Are they actually able to pay for the services in many cases, in the coaching world at least?
Yeah.
So that can make a real difference. Now, many summits, though, are free. And one of the ways of monetizing a summit is by selling recordings and VIP access and special sessions, etc. And again, depending on the market, you can maybe charge $37, $47 or $97 for that kind of thing. For my summit, I sold a VIP access at $47 and I sold 51 of them. So that was about $2,500.
Which then is sort of instant gratification for the presenters to get that money in their pocket and know that there's people who believe in what they're doing even before they deliver it, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I want to add one other thing there while I remember it, and that is, if you run a summit, one of the things that most people forget or ignore is the fact it's your summit. You can do whatever you like. You can present for 3 hours. Everybody else gets 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go on there 3 different times and promote 3 different aspects of your service. You know, it's your playground. You do what you want to do. You can limit the other people so they can not even maybe invite to a strategy session because that might take sales away from you. They can maybe give a download or something like that instead. And you are the only one who can do strategy sessions. There are many ways of actually playing this, so you get a lot of benefit from it.
So I want to shift gears once again, because we're getting tight on time, and I want to make sure that we take a few minutes to talk a little bit about the software solution that you have built called Event Raptor. And I've had the benefit of seeing as you're starting to leak information about, you know, what's actually coming, what's behind the curtain. And I'm super excited about it. You talked about the sort of all those logistics, the challenges of staying on top of communications and managing all of the moving pieces of an event. What is your hope with this software in terms of who's going to be using it, how it's going to be used, and ultimately, you know, where it could be deployed for the biggest bang?
Yeah. So my true passion is for small businesses to succeed. You know, the one man band, the solopreneur, or the small business with maybe 5 or 10 staff. Those are the people I'm really passionate about. And the idea of Event Raptor is to really eliminate all of the tech challenges that you have to go through to host your own virtual event. When people saw how effectively the event was run in January, they came to me and said, can we use your solution? Can you do this for us? And that's how Event Raptor was actually brought to life. And for me, the sign of success is when one of my clients, group coaching clients, is a 70-year-old lady. When she's able to go without really any training of any kind, when she's able to go and create a summit of her own inside of my system and have it run perfectly, that's my ultimate goal. And I'm speaking also to a lot of people who are in the event space, who set putting on events for other people, and to give them a platform where they don't, I mean, literally, there's one guy who does a virtual event, and I helped him. I spent less than 5 hours, and his team spent between 150 and 200 hours on setting up their virtual event. And that's the kind of time saving we are talking about. And I want to bring that out to everybody. Why pay so much money to put on a virtual event when you don't have to? That's my philosophy.
Yeah. And I think we're all getting a lot more creative about how we utilize this new virtual world that we sort of were thrust into. There's an ad running here in the US for a bicycle retailer, and how they had to shut down their local shop. And suddenly they were opened up to a much wider audience because everything that they were doing was virtual. And I think that although we've been talking about, you know, doing summits mostly in the coaching space or in the professional services space, that there's probably untapped opportunities that someone could realize using a tool like the one that you have built to help expand so many types of businesses and cover so many different subjects.
No, absolutely. Just when you talk about the untapped, let me just give you a very, very quick example of what is going untapped for a lot of people. So when I was working with Mary, you know, we had people going into the sales area virtually, but they didn't stay for too long because Mary was back on stage and speaking. So they wanted to go back and listen, and they didn't come back into the coaching zone. And the sales team was able to follow up with them on the Monday because we knew who had gone into the coaching zone. And when you know that they were interested enough to go in there, the sales team could call them and converted hundreds of thousands of dollars of sales. Hmm. Now, here's the thing. If you know that you're doing a webinar, say every Thursday, 5 p.m., you're doing a webinar, people come, people go, and you're not able to keep track of who's actually there and listening to your offer. If you know that people stayed and listened to your offer and you can follow up with them afterwards, you can close so many more sales because you know that they were interested enough to stay and listen to your offer. They weren't convinced yet, and you need to have more conversations with them. But having that knowledge and that data is vital. And that's one of the things that Event Raptor will actually provide for you as well.
That's cool. So I'm just thinking about like that bike company again, right? If they do like a online bike maintenance clinic every week and people show up, then they have the ability to track who was there so they can follow up with them to make them an offer, for example.
Exactly.
Really? I love that. Yeah. Well, excellent. So I know where people can find Event Raptor, and you know where people can find Event Raptor. We should probably tell our listeners where they can find it. We're gonna leave a link to find it right below the video or the recording here. But if you wanted to just share, you know, where people can read more about it, what is the main website for?
Right. So if you would like to know, I would love to know that you came here listening to David's podcast. So if you go to eventraptor.com/David, then you'll be able to find out more. We are actually in a pre-launch period right now. So the website right now is not what it will be in just about a week and a half. Actually, we're launching a new website. We're hoping to have it all ready by then. But eventraptor.com/David will probably
take them where we want them to go, right?
It will take them where we want them to go. And also, one of the things I'm offering is a checklist if you want to do a virtual event like a virtual summit. That is very, very useful to know what you should be looking at and how to plan it out, etc. So when you go to eventraptor.com/David, you will be given opportunity to download that list as well.
Excellent. Well, I'm glad that you've personalized it for me. Thank you so much, Steve.
Absolutely, my pleasure.
Well, great. We have taken probably more than enough of your time. I know you have a lot of stuff as you're getting ready for a big launch of your new software. So I'm gonna let you get back to it. Steve Erickson, thank you so very much for making some time for us and for this conversation about virtual events.
Absolutely, David. It's been my pleasure and to speak to you and to your audience. So thank you very much for having me here.
Well, great. For you listeners, thank you once again for hanging out with me and my guests here on More Perfect Marketing. And I look forward to seeing you back here on another episode soon.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.